Pledge Day, I'm doing a talk on giving, but I should say at the start, this is not a get your checkbook out now talk or a log in now to your online banking account. Instead, I want to look generally at how God sees our giving, because that is really the only thing that matters. How does God see it? And we're going to look at what used to be called the widow's mite, an incident recorded both in Luke and Mark, where Jesus watches a poor woman put in two tiny copper coins into the temple treasury. And our 3 points, Laurie, are, I hope we will see them, God looks, the Lord looks in, and the Lord looks out. Now that may sound a bit strange, but bear with me. Firstly, the Lord looks. There's a slight difference here between Mark and Luke. Luke just says in verse 1, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. And Mark makes it sound slightly more deliberate. He says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. But really the point is the same. Jesus is interested. He's watching. He sees what people give. As they used to say, God is more interested in your checkbook than in your hymn book. Or to say the same thing a different way, the church accounts are a better indication of its worship than its choir. That's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? You may know that Jesus talks about money 10 times as much as he talks about sex. He knows here how much money she's put in. He knows she's a poor woman. So, verse 2. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Some of the old liberal commentators in the days when miracles were out of fashion used to say Jesus couldn't have seen what she was putting in, and that this is a made-up story about a poor widow which was then taken and applied to Jesus. But I think the truth is that the Gospels are absolutely saturated with miracles. You might remember in Matthew, Jesus pays the temple tax by sending Peter to catch a fish in the Sea of Galilee, and the fish has the two tiny copper coins in its mouth to pay the tax. So if he can do that, he can see what this woman is giving. And of course, Christianity is the story of two great miracles, God becoming human and then rising from the dead. So it is inherently miraculous. You cannot take the miracles out of Christianity without destroying it. Jesus sees supernaturally and he knows what she is giving. He's interested in our money. The Lord looks. Now, I guess that's partly what lies behind the idea that we don't tell others what we're giving. Jesus says, don't announce it with trumpets when you give. In fact, don't really even tell yourself. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And the reason behind that is that God knows, God sees, and it's really only his opinion that matters. Peter Jensen is quite an outspoken Aussie who became Archbishop of Sydney, and there was a big appeal for the cathedral building there, and they were going to put a large notice board outside the cathedral announcing the top donors, and they asked him to suggest a Bible text to go at the top, and he suggested they have received their reward in full. Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, they have received their reward in full when they proclaim they're giving to others. They can expect no reward from God because they've already had their reward in human praise. But, says Jesus, if you give in secret, then God, your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Don't worry about what other people think, but do worry about God, what God thinks, because God is interested in our money. Our bank account shows more clearly than our words what really matters to us. And I guess the other thing to say here is that all of our money is really God's money. All of our money is really God's money. Giles Fraser, who I disagree with on quite a lot of things, but I think he's right on this. He's been commentating on the HSBC tax avoidance debate. People say it's my money. I'm entitled to everything that I've earned, and I can do everything I can to stop people taking it away from me, including elaborate tax avoidance schemes. But Giles Fraser says that is not really a Christian understanding. As far back as the Book of Common Prayer, those words that we heard read from Chronicles were used about giving. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. So it's not really mine at all. We think we earn it, we deserve it, but actually nothing we achieve is done without the gifts and skills and resources that God gives us. Everything comes from you, says David, and we've only given you what comes from your hand. And tax is a recognition that the good things that God has given us need to be shared equally and fairly with others. So God looks. He's interested in our money, and our giving should be for his eyes only. Then the second point, the Lord looks in. Verse 3 here. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, this poor widow has put in more than all the others, more than all the others. He doesn't say, I value it more highly. He says, she's put in more. Because what God is really looking at is not the coins, it's her heart. She has given herself. She's given wholeheartedly to God. And as it says in the Old Testament, at the time of the calling of David, human beings look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. She put in more than all the others, two tiny copper coins. Worth a lepta, as it says in the footnote, was worth about a hundredth of a denarius. In other words, about 5 minutes' labor at minimum wage. A microscopic amount in the world's terms, and it may appear insignificant. Mark says the rich people were throwing in large amounts into the treasury. But in Jesus' eyes, the only eyes that matter, she has put in more, because what God is looking at is the heart, her commitment of herself. In January 2007, a famous American violinist called Joshua Bell did some busking in Washington, D.C. station. He played six pieces by Bach on a Stradivarius for half an hour, and he collected $32. Normally, his concerts sell out immediately, and every seat costs hundreds of dollars, but nobody recognized what was right in front of them. Sometimes something incredibly precious can be happening under our noses, and yet nobody notices. I'm sure nobody apart from Jesus paid any attention to this woman. And yet Jesus says she's put in more than all the others, because Jesus looks in to the heart. There's a very clear contrast with what Jesus has said just before about the teachers of the law. They're all about show, all about outward appearance. Beware of the teachers of the law, he says. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue. I think that's the only reference to robes in the New Testament, by the way, in case you're wondering why I don't wear them. And then he goes on to say, verse 47, they devour, listen to that word, devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men, he says, will be punished most severely. They're all about elaborate outward show, and yet inwardly in the heart, which is what God is looking at, they're full of greed. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And he sees this widow giving herself fully to God. She could have kept one of the two coins. That would have been generous to give half of what she had, but she gives everything. The others, he says in verse 4, have given out of their wealth, but she has put in everything that she had to live on. There was no real cost to the others, no real sacrifice. And so if giving has no impact on you, if your lifestyle isn't changed, then it's not really generous giving at all, no matter how much it may represent. Generous giving will clip our wings. It will change our lifestyle. It will be sacrificial. So God looks in to the heart. And that is a great comfort to those of us who don't have very much money, isn't it? We think, I can only give a small amount. How can that matter? What can it, how can it be significant compared to the large amounts that other people are giving? But be absolutely sure of this, it matters to God. And God is the audience that really matters. If you give even the smallest amount sacrificially, then it is massively precious in God's sight. And you will be spiritually blessed as you do. I said at the start that the Lord looks, that he's interested in your money. But in another sense, he isn't really very interested in your money. He's really interested in you. Money is a little thing. Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, if you can't be trusted with very little, that is worldly wealth, then who will trust you with true riches? God has all the resources in the world. Everything comes from him. He doesn't need our money. It's just a little thing. What he really wants is our hearts. And giving shows us where our heart is. Now, we see here the contrast between the poor widow who gives generously and the greedy, grasping, well-off teachers of the law. And I don't think that's an accident, because the poor often have a great deal to teach the rich about generosity. People who collect for Christian Aid in our parish each year often say to me how much more generous people are in the less affluent parts of the parish. Much more generous than those in the gigantic houses with the several gigantic cars outside. Now, of course, there are exceptions, but generally, very often, we see the poor being much more generous with their money than the rich. A writer called Monica Helwig gave 10 reasons why spiritually the poor have a huge amount to teach the prosperous. And I've adapted it slightly, but these are some of the reasons. I know you may not be able to read them all, but I'm just going to go through them. The poor know they're dependent on others, dependent on God and on other people. The poor have learned to live one day at a time. They have no savings or pensions to put their trust in. The poor rest their security not on things, but on people. The poor have a deep empathy for those in need because they have been in need themselves. The poor have no exaggerated sense of their own importance and no exaggerated need of privacy. The poor can distinguish between necessities and luxuries. The poor can wait. They've acquired a kind of dogged patience. The poor expect little from competition and much from cooperation. The fears of the poor are realistic and less exaggerated because they've already known that they can survive times of great suffering and want. And the poor can respond generously because they have so little to lose and are ready for anything. That's challenging, isn't it, to all of us? Jesus says, blessed are the poor. And someone else said that the poor are mysteriously blessed while the rich live in peril. Spiritually, poverty opens your eyes to things you just won't see if you're well off. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. He's teaching us every day we need to come back and depend on God. Like the manna in the desert, just gather it for today and tomorrow go out and gather it again. It's much harder to depend on God every day if you've got plenty stored up for yourself. And I guess the reason we cling on to our money is not so much because we're stingy, but because we're afraid. We haven't learned to trust God every day. And the poor often have to do that in a way that the rich don't. So the Lord looks, he's interested in our money, it all comes from him. Secondly, the Lord looks in to the heart. God is looking at whether you're giving yourself and trusting him. And then thirdly, the Lord looks out. God looks out for those who trust him. He provides for their needs. Unless this woman is insane, and Jesus wouldn't be commending her to us if she were, she can only be giving in this kind of foolhardy, radically generous way if she knows that somehow God will provide for her. She knows that God looks out for his children. And so she can give in this extravagant way that seems crazy to others. I guess the reason most of us struggle to give generously is deep down because we think money and wealth are our saviors. Money keeps us safe. Money gives us security. And so we cling on to it, other than a small amount which doesn't change our lifestyle. And that's not really giving, is it? They've just given out of their wealth, Jesus would say. But I guess the question to ask ourselves is, can money really look after you? Can money stop you getting cancer? Can money make your family love you? Can money buy you real joy and meaning and significance in your life? Will a big house and a personalized number plate buy you that? Some people think it will, don't they? You'll have to make your own decision. But I believe the truth is that only God can give us true security and significance. And money can't do that. It's just a little thing. Sooner or later, it will let you down. And in the end, you will leave this world with nothing as you arrived. God is the only true security, and God looks out for his people. When we give to him, he promises to provide for us. And I have to say, I have never met anyone who has been disappointed when they have learned to give generously to God. The widow gives in the temple, and that is, in our first reading, what David was giving so generously to build. And the temple is the place where God says, I will put my name. It's the place where I will dwell. You can come there, and I will answer your prayers. I'll hear, and I will provide for you. Well, this is Luke chapter 21, and within a couple of days of this, Jesus will die. And at the moment he dies, the temple curtain is torn in two from top to bottom. And that means the temple is finished. It's desecrated. It cannot be used properly anymore. But Jesus says, destroy this place and I will raise it up again. And the temple he was talking about was his body. Yeah, it was him. He is the new temple. Yeah, the place where we meet with God. When the early Christians were just starting to get noticed in places like Rome, people would say, we hear that you're following a new religion. And the Christians would say, well, kind of. And they'd say, well, where's your temple then? And they'd say, we don't have a temple. Jesus is our temple. Okay, then, well, where do your priests spend their time? Well, we don't have any priests. Jesus is the one who stands between us and God. Okay, then where do you offer your sacrifices, the things that make you acceptable to God? We don't have any sacrifices. Jesus is the only sacrifice. He's the one who makes us acceptable to God. He's the bread, the lamb, the altar, the offering, the way we're right with God. They say, that doesn't really sound like a religion at all. Ah, would say the Christians. Now you're beginning to understand. Every other religion says, live like this, do these good deeds, give your money away, and then you'll be accepted. But Christianity says, no, you are accepted because Jesus has given himself away for you. Every other religion says, once you've given and done your deeds, then you've done enough. But Christianity says, Jesus has done enough. He's given himself fully for you, so now you can start to live with extravagant generosity. You can give yourself away because God has looked out for you. I wonder if you've grasped that God gave himself away for you. Not just for the world, not just for us, but for you. Have you got that Jesus gave himself for you and you alone? Because we know far more than this woman, this widow ever could, how much God has given for us. And once you really begin to get that deep in your heart, you no longer need a personalized number plate to make you significant. You don't have to accumulate more and more wealth to make yourself safe because you're eternally secure in Christ. God looked out for you. And when you get that, you can begin to give yourself and your money away with radical, extravagant generosity. Money is just a little thing. It cannot answer our prayers. It's not powerful. It's not the currency of our security and significance. And once we see that, it no longer controls us. And we can start to give it away in proportions that everyone else thinks is just crazy. Anyone who doesn't have God at the center of their life is going to think we're mad. But we can do it joyfully because we know that God has looked out for us. God has given himself away for us. And often people say that their spiritual lives really began to take off once they learned to give. So God looks, the Lord looks. He's interested in our money. He looks in at the heart, whether you're giving yourself to him. And he looks out. He provides for his people in a way that money never can. May God make us joyful givers with generous hearts, that he can pour out his rich blessings upon every one of us. So we're going to sing, "Take My Life, Take My Silver and My Gold, Not a Mite Would I Withhold." Let's think about offering ourselves to God.